Oh, hallelujah. That is so encouraging to hear what God's doing, right? I think that that everything that y'all said tonight tied in with what I feel like the Spirit of God would have us to talk about. Open up your Bibles to the Old Testament, the book of Psalms, Psalms chapter 100. Let's talk about, because, and y'all already know all about it because you're doing it. Let's talk about how to be great in this generation. How to be great in this generation, because this generation is your generation. Amen? It's your generation. It didn't belong to anybody else. It belongs to you, because God gave it to you. And not only did he give this generation to you, but he gave you to the generation. Everything that y'all were talking about tonight was about serving the Lord. But how do we serve the Lord? By going where he would have us to go, being what he would have us to be. Amen. So he gave this generation to you, but he's gave you an opportunity to serve the whole generation. Can we see that? We can see that, can't we? All right. Psalms 100 is five verses. Let's read this for a text and you concentrate on verse five. Psalms 100. If you're there, say amen. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Verse 4, enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. And why did we come here? Specifically, verse 5. You do verse 4 to make verse 5 real. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations, generation after generation after generation. Brother Rodney, would you pray? Yes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yes. Amen and amen. Thank you, Brother Rodney. Thank you for being here tonight. Thank you for sharing your heart with us. What a blessing. What an encouragement. So in these first four verses, it talks about how your life is a lifestyle of praise. Your life, my life, the Christian's life, the believer's life is a lifetime of pointing, of reflecting the goodness of God, who he is, the truth of how he's working in our lives and how we've come to trust him and all of that. We don't have time to get into all of that, but that's just pretty plain and simple. But I want you to concentrate on verse 5, because in this generation, you're willing to serve the Lord. The Bible says that in the as we see generation after generation come to pass, that we get closer to that last generation, which I believe that we're in, but that's just my personal opinion. But when we see that last generation, we're going to see a lot of confusion. We're going to see a lot of falling away, a lot of disruption, and we're seeing all of those things because there is a spirit of deception that is at work. And so how to be great in our generation is to be praising the Lord, is to be worshiping the Lord, is to be living a life for the Lord that is a testimony. And that's what y'all were talking about tonight, you know, just in the DG. You know, and being a vessel, seeing what God puts on your heart and then putting your hand to it. See, because the heart's one thing, the hand is something else. But when we put the hand and the heart together, there is nothing, nothing impossible. Amen. And so anyway, I want you to look at this. Now, look what he said. He said, for the Lord is good, present tense. See, your lifestyle to make this generation to be impacted by God, that's what you're doing. You're living a lifestyle that tells everybody, God's good. God's good. Everything that you said tonight, everything that you represent is a representation of how good God is. That he loves his children and he loves his people and he doesn't want anything but for us his very best, because he demonstrated that. He showed that when he gave us Jesus. But notice what he said: "For the Lord is good, and his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations." So you and I, we are instruments of change. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit, but we're vessels of truth. You were made, Brother David, to hold the truth of the Lord. And as you hold the truth of the Lord, you carry that truth, you live it, you reveal your thanksgiving, you reveal your praise, your worship of God, and it touches generations. And so in the Hebrew, this word generation is a revolution of time. It's dore, and it's dore, dore. In other words, it's repeated twice for emphasis. In other words, you and I, we're not just going to touch our generation, because we serve a God that's so mighty and so good, and his anointing and his plan is in your life so strong, you're going to pass it on. You're going to touch this generation, but if the Lord tarries, you're going to touch the next and the next, because the message doesn't change. And your testimony doesn't die when you take your last breath. Your witness doesn't die, because you and I, we're living on what the Apostle Paul wrote in the New Testament, the time of grace. His testimony of Jesus keeps going and going and going. Well, you're living by that same testimony. And so you got to see how important it is, everything that you do and say. It's just not for this moment. It is for the eternal. And your children, your grandchildren, your neighbors, your friends, those people that you have an impact on, it's going to change their life. And so that's what we're going to talk about tonight, how to be great and see that our life really and truly means something. Now, when he said that the Lord is good, see, that gets you and I in a mindset, in a present tense. See, if we're not careful, as we go through trials, Brother Rodney, as we go through situations, we get caught up in this moment. It seems to overshadow everything. And the devil wants to use that moment to bring discouragement or despair or try to cause us not to see how good it is. But if we're in that mindset where we go, my life is about this generation. My life is about touching it, how to be great in it, and how to keep it going on and on. And the way that I can do that is to stay focused on a God that is. He is. He is. He is. So hold that in your heart as we look through the Word of God and see some things. Now go with me into the New Testament, and let's see out of the Word of God how we can be blessed. In Acts chapter 13, you got a kind of a summation by Paul, like we looked at Stephen, that's not as concise as we looked at this morning. But I want you to just look, starting in verse 22, where he starts talking about David. And we're going to pull and learn from the example of King David. In Acts 13:22. Paul is given this summation, and he says, "And when he had removed him, Saul, when he removed Saul from being king, he raised up unto them David to be their king, whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, which shall fulfill all my will." Now, this is so amazing to you and I, and we need to hold it in our heart. Here we got the little shepherd boy David that was destined to be king. And he went through all of these things. He went through, as we look at how his home life was, no doubt, you know, being having a different mother and being rejected by his brothers and not being respected by his dad. And all those things, the devil used all of that to try to hurt him and to hinder him and keep him from his destiny. But David, he had a heart to serve God. He had a heart for the will of God. And so he learned how to become great in his generation. And how you become great is simply that the Lord is now. He's now. He's this Lord that is on time. He's this Lord that is active in our lives. And so I want you to imagine David here, that what it felt like to being raised up. Well, see, think about your own life as you got raised up and lifted up, as Brother Green was talking about being saved and lifted up out of sin. Think about what that was like. You come up out of that and you met a God that was good, a God that had this mercy, a God that had this truth that was generational, kept going and going. It changed your life. Well, this is what happened to David. He progressively saw how good God was, and he didn't let his situations limit him or hold him down. It didn't matter. He was alone with God, but those as his brother said, those few little sheep, his brothers were jealous. And it wasn't a few little sheep. But see, the devil wants to try to belittle what you're doing. Laugh at him. And say, no, when God calls me to do something, it's not little. God don't do little things. The little things that the world calls little, they're big in God's eyes. And they have lasting generational consequences. And so there he was. He was alone. The Lord was with him. The Lord is now in his life. And he, as he took care of the sheep, he took care of the bear. And he took care of the lion. And he got ready to take care of the giant. Because he was always in a place where he was revealing how good God was. How God's faithfulness was going to be to his people. So that's what you and I need to do. We need to show the faithfulness of God to this generation. Because this generation we're living in, they're in a time where there's not been deception since the time of Noah. I really believe that we're dealing with right now. I believe we're in that deception timeline period. And it's going to increase until the sounding of the trumpet. And so we've got to be in that place, in that position where we let the anointing of the Lord bring truth generational to people greater than what the devil means for harm. Because God's going to anoint you greater than what the devil's plan is. He's going to give you grace because the Bible says where sin abounds, grace is going to abound that much more. And so there's going to be an anointing to minister this grace. So see yourself like David. See yourself as always coming up in the things of God. See yourself in that place, in that position to say, I'm going to show the people who God is. I'm going to assume they've never met the Lord that I know. Because, come on, they don't know the Lord that you know. They may have heard of God. They may have heard of church. They may have heard of all these things. But tonight you opened up your heart and you shared what? The relationship. People in this lost, dying world, they don't know what it is to have a relationship with a God that is so loving, that is in you and you are in him. Amen. Now, notice what it says. Drop down to verse 36. This is where we're really get into the meat of this. It says, for David, after he had served his own generation. Now, you know, by the will of God, he fell asleep and he was laid into his fathers and he saw corruption. Of course, they're talking about a comparison between David as Jesus, the Son of God, the true Lord of Lords and King of Kings, and how shepherd boy David becoming a type and a shadow of that. But I want you just to concentrate on the first part of the verse, that he served his own generation. He served them. See, Jesus said, how do you know how you can be the greatest? Who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom? Those who are the servants. He said, when you truly serve, when you find your place and position, tonight, you know where your place and position is. You know that God's called you to serve him. He's called you and you're confident in where your place and position is. And God's going to use that to bring a greatness to this generation. Because God is that great God. God Almighty, El Shaddai, he is that God Almighty. And he needs to be brought to this generation. He's going to be brought by your relationship with Jesus. And so here David is. He served the Lord in his own generation. Now this word served, it means to be an under oarsman. Think about the ships at this time. They had these oars all along these ships, and these people were underneath the bottom, and they were pulling those oars and moving that ship, yet nobody saw them. When they looked at that ship, they saw, boy, watch it. Of course, they had sails too, but I understand what I'm saying. Somebody may not ever see what you're doing, but God does. God's gave you the oar. He's gave you the oar, and he's gave you the strength to pull that oar. Amen. And you can be great in your generation when you realize everything that you're doing it as unto the Lord. You're not doing it for the church. You're not doing it for the pastor. You're not doing it for anybody else, but you're doing it for the Lord. And so that's what David did. It says right here that when after he had served his own generation, he was this under oarsman. He done it by the will of God. Now, think about that. There's so many things that you have in your heart and I have in my heart. And sometimes I can't speak for you, but I can only speak for me. I can't share what I have in my heart because I'm so afraid in the natural that I can't get it out clearly. You know what I mean? Or I can't get it out the way God would want me to, and then that it won't be accepted or it won't be received. But see, God, He knows that you and I, we have a heart for Him, because the Bible said here that David had a heart for the Lord. Well, David had a heart for the Lord, but what about Bathsheba? See, we've got to separate spirit and flesh. Your flesh, my flesh, is going to make mistakes. But our heart is what? It's the Lord is good. Our heart is, I'm saved by grace. I'm living in the mercy of the Lord, and I'm learning how to walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. I'm learning how to overcome, and this generation needs to be taught. They need to be taught that God's not looking to send them to hell. He's looking to deliver them from sin. Because, you know, as we've been talking about on Wednesday night, there is not a sin problem. No, Jesus took care of it. There's only a sinner problem. And when you and I become a saint, come on, that problem is took care of. But we got to learn how to walk in our sainthood. We've got to learn. And so David served his generation. He made his mistakes and people saw them very plainly and very, very clearly. But they also saw a man who was humble. They saw a man who would serve the Lord no matter what. And that's what the world is looking at you. They're looking at you and they say, okay, you have trouble too. You've got problems, you know, and everything, but you're not letting that trouble, those problems, determine whether you serve God or not, whether you testify or not. That makes you great in this generation. That says that you love God more than what you feel or more than what you see. And so can you think about it? By the will of God. So David here, he's in a place and a position, even under the old covenant, where God is revealing his will to him. And David had to go to the priest and all of these things. Well, you and I, we got a great high priest. And we've got the Holy Spirit to lead us. So let's let that get in our heart. Go with me over to chapter 20. And let's see where the same word is used, that he served the Lord by the will. It's translated counsel. In Acts chapter 20, look at verse 26. Paul is talking here and he says, "Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men." Paul says here, my generation, every time I had an opportunity, I lived Jesus before them. This is how Paul become great in his generation, and it keeps going unto this day. This is how you and I become great, that we just open our mouth. We put our hand and our heart together, and it's that witness. He said, "For I've not shunned," in verse 27, "to declare unto you all the counsel of God." That's that same word, will. He said, I want everybody to know the whole counsel of God. I want them to know the will. So you and I, we got to see that Paul, writing 2/3 almost of the New Testament, this is what he taught in all of his epistles. This is what he taught in these churches that he founded and that he was a part of. He taught the whole counsel of the Lord. So if I'm going to be a person after God's own heart, like King David was, if I'm going to be great for the Lord in this generation, then I have to have this Bible. I have to have the word of the Lord. I can't be great without the great one, the great God Almighty, the El Shaddai. I've got to have him. I've got to have his word. And so I need to be in that place and say, wait a minute, God wants to give me counsel. God wants to direct and order every step of mine, every step of yours. He wants to speak mysteries into your life. He wants to bring revelation to you. He wants to cause you to always be in the right place at the right time. Peter said that you and I, we could know how to answer every person because of the counsel of the Lord. The counsel. You don't have to depend upon anybody else. Jesus said, "I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit, and he will be another comforter to you. He will be a counselor to you." The Holy Spirit searches the heart of people. He knows people, and so he reads their heart, and you're having a conversation, and all of a sudden you just start talking about something, and you don't even know why you're talking about it, but that's the key that unlocks their heart. That's the key that gets in the situation and builds them up and points them to realize, hey, God is alive and well in this generation. You remember in the 60s on the cover of Time magazine, I don't remember what year it was, but somewhere around the time that we were born, you know, in that time period, in the middle 60s, whatever, there was a time frame there, and it said, "God is dead." See, a whole generation. Maybe it said, "Is God dead?" God is dead or is God dead? I don't remember. But anyway, whatever the point being is that there's a generation, they have not seen the glory of the Lord. But you and I, to be great in this generation, we can show, we can reveal, we can bring the whole counsel of God to people who don't know how to live out of this bondage. They can be made free, amen. They can come out of the bondage of the world, out of the bondage of self. Oh my goodness. Don't you love the idea that yes, the world is oppressive and yes, it has a stronghold, but I've got this own world in my own life. I need to know how to come out of self. So that whole counsel of the Lord. So Paul said, I haven't shunned. I've gave the whole counsel. So in this Bible, in my relationship with God the Father through the Spirit, showing me Jesus, the Word, that Son, I can have counsel for every situation that's going to make my life a living testimony. It's going to make my life shine in this generation because it's not really my life, it's Jesus and His will shining in me and through me. This is what you and I want. Now notice what he said. He said, why was it so important to have the full counsel of God? Drop down to verse 29. Acts 20:29. He said, for I know this, that after my departing, Paul says, after I die, shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. What are they going to be doing? Verse 30. Also of your own selves, he said, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. So we need to be in the place and position that you and I know the Bible. We know the Word of God. We know Jesus, where we can be great in this generation. And there is no limitation to how great we can be. The only limitation is how well do I know the great one? How am I following Him? How am I yielding to Him? How am I trusting Him? So let's get this in our heart. He said, I want to declare to you the whole counsel. I want you to know that you can know what God wants. It's God's volition. It's God's will. It's God's purpose. Brother David, you've got a purpose. God gave it to you. Every one of us here, God gave us a purpose. We weren't created empty without void. We were created with a destiny, and God wants us to be able to see it. So go with me to back to the Old Testament, Psalms 143. Let's see something about this will of the Lord and how we can get into that place of receiving it, where we can be great in this generation. Psalms 143, look at verse 10. Psalms 143:10. David here, he says, teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. So you and I, we have a covenant with God. And that covenant ensures that you have His Spirit, I have His Spirit, to be able to teach us. This word teach means to goad. And of course, you and I, you know, being from the country, we know how you goad a cow. We used to use clubs, but then we got hot shots. And I mean, you can make a cow change its direction if you got a hot shot. Not so much with a club, but with a hot shot, you can. But what the word means to you and I, it's an impulse. So the Holy Spirit, it gives you little leadings. It touches your heart. And all of a sudden, you feel like you need to be in a certain place at a certain time. You feel like you need to text somebody, Brother Donnie. You just feel that leadership. And the impossible seemingly becomes possible. So teach me, goad me to do thy will. So if David had that heart for that, and he become great in his generation because he was teachable, well, you and I, we have the Holy Spirit to teach us tonight. He'll lead us and guide us into all truth. So I need to be in that place where, hey, what God done in the type and the shadow under the old covenant, how much more will He do now in this dispensation of grace in the new covenant? Teach me to do thy will. Why? For thou art my God. So that's what we got to do. We got to tell the Lord, Lord, I don't have any other gods. There's no idols in my life in Jesus' name. I've tried those idols. I set them up on a shelf. I served them. I bowed down to them. They never do anything to help me, but they hurt me. They hindered me and all of those things. And I recognize all of those idols. And now they're under the foot of the cross. They're under the feet of Jesus. Amen. You're my God. You're my God. That means that I'm following you. I'm serving you. I want to bring a great God and be great in this generation. I want to change this generation by showing people that I know who God is. Come on, there's got to be a confrontation. Elijah, he went on Mount Carmel, and there's 850 prophets of the false God. And what did he do? He showed them who God was. All of those prophets, they lost their life. They didn't have no ability. Their God was nothing compared to the God that you and I serve. The God that says he's taking this generation to hell, no, he's a liar. No, he's a liar. He can't do it because we've got a God that saves. We've got a God that brings grace. We got a God that brings deliverance. Amen. And he's going to do it through you and I. How are we great in this generation? We stand up and we say, God's greater than any sin. God's greater than any addiction. Amen. Notice what he says. Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. He said, thy spirit is good. And look what he says, because he brings this revelation of, and he reminds himself, he said, lead me into the land of uprightness. Lead me into the land of all righteousness, all right things of God. Be my guide. God, I want you to be my guide. I want you to be. Now, think about it. See, a lot of times, you know, how many times have you got on some kind of phone support trying to get somebody to help you with your computer or put something together, something that, you know, they say, if you have a problem, don't take it back to the store, call this number. And you're talking to somebody overseas and you may be able, I can't understand them. They probably can't understand me. And it's just confusion. But God's the guide that walks with us. He's right in the middle of the trouble, Brother Rodney. He feels the same flames that we feel. That's why he takes the flames that the devil tries to mean from harm, and he turns them into a temperature that will burn out the things of the enemy. And it'll just make you and I more and more pure. Amen? That's the God that we're serving. That's the God that we're working with. Guide me. Guide me. I accept you as my God. I worship. See, when we start calling God who he is and we start worshiping him in that way, what does he do? He inhabits the praise of his people. He reveals himself in that way. And all of a sudden, we start seeing him like we never saw him before. And as much as it blesses us, what does it do? It blesses others. Amen? Because it's that witness and that testimony. They see God guiding you. They see that you're making different choices, that you're strong when you ought to be weak, that you're wise when the world says you don't have any ability to do what you're doing. Amen? And God gets all the glory. This is what we're doing. We're being great in this generation for the goodness of God. Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me, guide me into the land of uprightness. So now think about this. That means that every time you and I follow the Lord, that he's going to take us, like Brother Corey was singing, from glory to glory. But he's going to take us by his word in a place that makes something that's wrong in our life right. At every step, every step. So we can't sit down. We can't quit. Because if I sit down, I'm just going to have what I got. But God doesn't want me to settle for that. He's got something better and better and better until that trumpet sounds, and then it's going to be glorious. Amen. But in that meantime, we got to keep going. So let's understand what this means. We're a part of the family. Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. We're part of God's family. Look here, starting in verse 46. Matthew 12:46, and while he, talking about Jesus, talked to the people, behold, his mother and his brethren stood without, desiring to speak with him. Then one said unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with thee. Verse 48, but he, Jesus, answered and said unto him that told him, who is my mother and who are my brethren? Verse 49, and he stretched forth his hand toward his disciples. I want you to get this. Jesus put his hand towards you. When Jesus puts his hand towards you, there's glory, there's power, there's truth, there's love, because it's revealing the grace of God. Amen? Toward his disciples and said, behold, my mother and my brethren. Verse 50. For whosoever shall do the will, remember, teach me to do thy will, O God, what we just read. For whosoever shall do the will of the Father, which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. Oh, God said, we're family. Come on, we've all been around people and they'll say, who do you belong to? And then some people, they won't claim us. But Jesus does. Jesus said, that's who you are. Well, the Bible says, Paul wrote in the book of Romans that you and I, that Jesus, he was the firstborn among many brethren. Glory. So teach me to do that will. Teach me to live like Jesus is my true kinfolk. Jesus is closer to me, and he's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I need to live like that, and I need to show people, hey, this thing is real. This is not church. This is not religion. This is a relationship. God, he knows every word in my tongue. He knows every thought in my mouth, and he wants to help them line up with him where I can be great for him, and you can be great for him in this generation. But it has to come from the heart. Ephesians 6:6. Ephesians 6:6. To get in this place of will, we gotta have it from the heart. Look what he says. He says, talking about servants, and that's who you and I were, that under oarsmen like David, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, knowing this, doing the will of God from the heart. Think about that. That means when we pray that prayer like David did, teach me, O Lord, to do thy will. Lead me in the land of uprightness. When we do that, he implants that, Brother David, in your heart. In your heart. And all of a sudden, because he lives in your heart and you live in him, and that unity, that cohesiveness is there, then he can talk to you and he can tell you secrets in your heart. And those secrets of what is what makes you full of joy, makes the love of God that never fails start coming out of your life. That the very peace of God, when the whole world looked like it's going to hell in a handbasket, you're just resting in the Lord because you know the truth in your heart. That's how you're great in this generation, because people are looking and they say, oh my goodness, they're kept in perfect peace. Even the economy's doing this, and even we got leaders who are wanting more here and wanting more there, and we've got people who are sending money everywhere that the money's not there. It's not there. They're just printing it. But you and I, we got peace because this world is not our home. This world is not taking care of us. The Lord is our shepherd, right? Notice what he said. He said, doing the will of God from the heart, verse 7, with good will, doing service as to the Lord and not to men. So I'm that under oarsman. You're that under oarsman. We're serving the Lord. Nobody else may see it or may understand it, but guess what? There's nothing to get the attention of the world as somebody who's serving Jesus, because as you serve Jesus, you're really serving the lost. I mean, that'll get their heart quicker. They're not going to listen to a sermon that's preached with words, but they'll listen to a sermon that is demonstrated, come on, by the hand that has touched and has been touched by the heart of Jesus. Amen. So how are we going to be great in this generation? We're going to say, Lord, you teach me. You keep my heart soft. You keep it subtle. I want to be like David in the old covenant, but now even to a greater degree in the new covenant. I want to be a person after your heart. Show me. Let me empty my heart out, and you fill my heart up with your will, your plan. Because if I'm in the place where you're teaching me to do your will and I'm doing it from the heart, the work of the Lord is just going to flow out. We don't have to struggle about it. He's going to give us the strength. He's going to give us the Savior who will bring the solutions when things try to block it. It can't be stopped. It can't be stopped, amen? We got to see that. All right, let's look at one last thing. I want you to think about this now. As we're in that place and we realize that just like David, I can be something in this generation, I need to see how important it is. Because as the Lord touches me, and as I allow him to touch me, that is the degree or the level of how I can be used by him to touch somebody else. So look at 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, and I'm going to let you go. Look at this verse number 1. This is Paul talking to Timothy, but he's also talking to us tonight. Now look what he says. Thou, therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. So you and I, we're saved because we have faith in the grace of God. Amen. And that word saved means not just saved a little bit. We're saved spirit, soul, and body. So here we are. We are saved. So I'm not strong in my own ability. I'm not strong in my own understanding, but I'm strong in the grace of God, and the grace of God is sufficient. It's enough. Okay. So he tells him here. Now, why does he tell him that? Verse 2. Now notice this, that in the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit unto faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. So here, this is how Paul was great in his generation. Paul took what he got from the Lord on that day of the road to Damascus, what he got in the desert of Arabia, those 3.5 years being taught of the Lord, he got and he gave it to everybody he come in contact with. But he started here, he gives it to Timothy. So you got Paul's one generation. He gives it to Timothy. He's the next generation. And what does he tell him? He said, among many witnesses, commit to faithful men. So now Timothy's taken to the next generation, to the faithful men. And then they're going to take it and be able to teach others. That's us. See, generation to generation to generation. How can we be great in our generation? We've got to bring forth just Jesus, the Word of God. That's it. Jesus is that Word. We talked about it this morning. In the beginning was the Word was with God. Come on, the Word was God. Then drop down to John 1:14, and the Word was made flesh. Jesus. That's who we're talking about. And so Paul tells Timothy, he said, here's what you do. He said, you teach everybody how to be strong in the grace of God. And that strength comes from knowing what the Word says, what the Bible says, what grace really means. You and I, we don't have to struggle. Come on, Paul, he kicked against the pricks. He knew what it was like to struggle. He knew like what it was to live under religion and to live by the law. And so that's why he was so heavy on grace. And that's what you and I do. We need to be heavy on grace. So I need to see every area of my life that I'm weak tonight. I need to say, Lord, obviously I've not accepted grace in this area, because I'm not strong in that area. I'm weak in that area. We're not making a bad confession, because we're talking to the Lord. And when we confess our where we're at to Him, what does He do? He gives us a word that brings us up out of where we're at and puts us on the rock where we're supposed to be. Amen? And so that's how we're great in this generation, because this generation needs to know that by the grace of God, they can come out of sin. By the grace of God, they can come out of all bondage. By the grace of God, they can use these piercings and these tattoos. They can use them for the glory of God. God can take them and can what? He can use them for their generation. He can get into it. But if we condemn them, or if we judge them and all of those things, that's not going to pull them to Jesus. Come on, I know my sin. I know my shortcomings in the past. I don't need you to tell me about it. I need Jesus to show me that I've been delivered from it. Amen. And so God wants to use every generation. And if we'll do that, we have a promise here. Think about the rewards that you're going to have, just like the Apostle Paul is going to have, because of what? Of talking about grace, being great in this generation. And I want to close with this thought. I wrote this, print this out, because I was afraid I couldn't remember it, because I didn't have time to put it in my head. Bill Glass, he's a minister. He's an evangelist, but also he's a wonderful counselor, especially to people who've been in prison. But he spent he would go several times a month to different prisons, and he would minister to people who were in prisons. And so he'd done this for 25 years at the time when this was written. And in those 25 years, here's what statement he said. He said 95% of the people that he ministered to on death row, 95 out of 100 told them that they hated their dad. 95 out of 100. See, talking about going from generation to generation. See, that's why the devil has tried to take the dad out of the family. And that's why the devil right now, if you watch TV or anything online, he tries to belittle the dad. The dad has no authority. The dad has no responsibility. The dad's a goofball. And all that's not true. You're created in the image of God, you know, and you got to be who you are. Now think about that. So generation of hate gets passed down and down. So you and I, how can we be great in this generation? We can give love. But here's what a promise is. Now look at this. Have you ever, anybody read Jonathan Edwards' book? Brother Corey, what was that book in the 1700s? You know, the evangelist? But they made a book out of it. Yes. There's a book that come from that. But the most powerful sermon probably ever preached this side of the Sermon on the Mount. But anyway, listen to this. They in 1900, they studied, they started looking, and that was as far as they could go back, and they went forward in his life, Jonathan and Sarah Edwards. And it says, out of their family line, 13 were college presidents. 65 were college professors. There were 100 lawyers and judges. There were 60 doctors. There were 86 that were state senators. 3 were state governors. 3 were congressmen. 1 was the comptroller of the U.S. Treasury. And 1 became vice president of the United States. Because they lived for generation to generation to generation. He was a great, he was a preacher. He was an evangelist. He was the head of Princeton University. And now look where Princeton University is. All of them up there. So what did he do? His lineage. Okay. You and I, we got to see that this is Paul called Timothy his son, spiritual son. You and I, we can have a great lineage. Whether we've got blood kids or not, blood grandkids or not, we can have that in the spirit. Amen. And so I want to be in the place where, Lord, how can I be great? How can I be great? The only way I can be great is if I serve the Lord. The higher I lift up Jesus, the more I make a great God revealed to this generation, the more it'll be carried. Everything else that I do is going to go by the wayside. But everything I do for the Lord is going to last forever and ever and ever. And ever. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for your goodness and your kindness. Lord, thank you for this group of people who come out on a rainy Sunday evening because they love you. Lord, I feel your spirit so strong. I know that you're wrapping your arms around them right now. I thank you for giving them a testimony and giving them a heart to know you and a heart to love you. I ask that you just bless them and encourage them like never before. And I ask that you just give them a taste, a glimpse in the spirit of what you're doing in them and through them to touch this generation. And should you tarry, the next generation, however it might be, Lord, help us to be in this place tonight to where we see that we can be used by you to change people's lives. And the more that we're willing to allow you to shine in us and through us, the stronger that light. And the greater that pool is going to be on people. Lord, let it be. We ask you in the mighty name of Jesus that you just help us to humble ourselves and to receive the fullness of what you're wanting to do in and through our lives for your glory. Teach us tonight about that wheel that reveals your will, which you're not willing that any should perish, but all would come to repentance. But they can't come to repentance unless Jesus is preached. Show us how to live that lifestyle of preaching Jesus. We asked you in Jesus' name. Would you come tonight and make yourself an altar? Just lay your head on the altar. Lay your head in the bosom of Jesus and say, Lord, here I am. I thank you that you're going to teach me some things. You're going to show me how important my life is. And I'll know and better understand why I've went through what I went through, why I've struggled, why the enemy has attacked and tried to yell and scream and deafen my ear. Would you just let the Lord just encourage you and bless you tonight like never before?